Matthew chapter 5, verse 11 to 16. Blessed are you when people insult you, persecute you, and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me. Rejoice and be glad, because great is your reward in heaven. In the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you. You are the salt of the earth. But if the salt loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled by men. You are the light of the world. A city on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before men, that they may see your good deeds and praise your Father in heaven. Amen.
Well, if you have your Bibles, then turn to that passage that we read together, Matthew chapter 5. Somebody asked me just a couple of days ago, why did you choose the Sermon on the Mount? And it's a good question, and it deserves a good answer. And I don't know if I've got a good answer for you, but I have got an answer. If we think about mission, and I've been thinking about this for some time, it seems that mission is sometimes something that we kind of add on to our lives. We may have mission Sundays once or twice a year and invite a missionary to come and preach on missions. And then that's kind of it for the rest of the year. It seems to be something that, well, yeah, those super spiritual Christians, they are the ones that get involved in missions. They're the ones who go on Envision or mission trips, and they're involved in missionary work. But if we read the Bible, if we read through the whole of God's Word, we see that God's heart is for missions. He is concerned about raising up a people from every nation, tribe, and tongue that will reflect His glory. He is concerned about His glory and that being shown by gathering a people to Himself from every nation, tribe, and tongue. And so when we think of becoming a Christian, if we think of a Christian as someone in whom God is recreating His heart or renewing His heart, then mission needs to be a lot more central to who we are, our character, what we're about, how we do everyday life. And that's why I've chosen then the Sermon on the Mount, because that's what Jesus is concerned about in these chapters 5, 6, and 7. He's concerned to show us what is a Christian, and he does it by comparing and contrasting a Christian to the world on the one hand, the attitudes and values that exist in the world, and then on the other hand, he compares and contrasts a Christian to the religion of the scribes and Pharisees, a works religion, a religion that knows no grace. And by doing that, he's showing to us, this is what a Christian is. This is how a Christian lives. These are the attitudes. These are the values. These are the things that are important for a Christian. And he's saying, live these out. He's saying, if you are a Christian, you are different. And therefore, you will make a difference in this world. We have to remember, and it's very important that we do this, that the Sermon on the Mount is not a set of rules that we have to kind of measure ourselves by and say, well, am I good enough to get into the kingdom of God? That's not what the Sermon on the Mount is all about. The Sermon on the Mount is showing to us, this is what a Christian is. This is the heart that a Christian has. And we're called to live out in this world what it means to be a Christian, to show forth the fruit of the Spirit. And so that's that why I've chosen the Sermon on the Mount, and that's why this week we're going to try and understand what difference the gospel makes to our lives, and then how, as we live in this world, how we make a difference in this world. So it's the title I suppose I gave to these talks is Making a Difference in the World by Being Different. And so today we're going to look at that short passage that we read together from Matthew chapter 5, verses 10 to 13. And just two things I want to draw from that, and you can probably already see the division there. Firstly, we're going to look at verses 10 to 12, where Jesus talks about persecution. This is what the world will do to a Christian. They will persecute you. And then verses 13 to 16, Jesus says, this is the influence that you as Christians will have in this world. You are salt and light in this dark and decaying world. So let's look firstly at verses 10 to 12. Let me just read that again. Blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when people insult you, persecute you, and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me. Rejoice and be glad, because great is your reward in heaven. For in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you. Notice there what Jesus says in verse 11. He doesn't say, blessed are you if people insult you, persecute you, or falsely say all kinds of evil against you. He says, when. Jesus says that this is something that you can expect if you are a Christian. And we only have to look at history. We only have to read the Bible to see that that is true. If you start with Cain and Abel in Genesis chapter 4, how Cain kills Abel, the righteous one. And we move right through the Bible, how Moses was opposed, how Samuel was opposed, how David had to run for his life many, many times. We can read the story of Elijah and how Jezebel wanted to put him to death. And then even as God's people came back into the land and Nehemiah was there building the walls of Jerusalem, you saw the persecution that God's people faced there. And then moving into the New Testament as well, read of how the apostles were persecuted, how John the Baptist lost his life, how Stephen became the first martyr. And then we go on from there and into history, and we read about the Romans and how they persecuted many Christians because they named the name of Jesus Christ. So they would put people into skins of animals and set wild animals upon them, or set Christians alight, or crucify Christians. Jesus says, if you're a Christian, you better expect to be persecuted. Jesus gives to us a very different picture of Christianity than many people have in this world. I don't know so much about the situation here in Britain, but in Latvia, there is a brand of Christianity that says that when you come to Jesus Christ, when you trust in him, everything is going to be fine. Everything's going to be okay. You're going to have lots of money, you're never going to get sick, and you're going to have an easy life. And Jesus says very plainly, that just is not the case. When you become a Christian, expect to be persecuted. Expect it. That will happen. And we only have to read the newspapers to see what is going on with our brothers and sisters in Iraq and in Syria. Only just this weekend in the paper, they had a picture of Christians being crucified in Syria simply because they're Christians. And Jesus says that is nothing extraordinary. That is something that you have to expect as Christians. And we say, well, maybe we will never face that here in the UK. But notice what Jesus says. It's not just physical persecution. It's not just beatings. It's not just death. But he says, people will say false things about you. They will say all kinds of evil against you because of me. And so we face that as Christians. You will face that. People will say things about you. Maybe they will laugh at you because you say you're a Christian, you're a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ. We're to expect that. Notice, though, it does say, when people do this because of me, they do this because you are following the Lord Jesus Christ. This is not persecution simply because you're an awkward person. Some Christians may say that. Say, well, you know, I'm being persecuted. But it might be just the fact that you're awkward. You have certain things about you that people don't like. And that's why they're against you. Not because you're a Christian as such. Just your personality. Jesus says, it is for righteousness' sake. If you're persecuted for righteousness' sake, that's the important thing. On account of me. Not because you've got a different skin color. Not because of your politics. Not because of your personality, but because you are different, because you don't fit in, because something of Christ's character is seen in you and people don't like that, because you don't follow the gods of this world, because your career is not everything to you, or your possessions, or your wealth, that is not the most important thing to you. And people see that. And you're different, and they don't like that, and so they're against you. I don't know what it's like here in the UK, but I know in Latvia, one of the big problems with young people, the hardest thing that they face in school, is cheating. You see, in Latvia, it is common for everybody to cheat in exams. Even the teachers know that. They expect that. And I guess, in part, they set the exams knowing that their students will cheat, which makes it very hard if you're a Christian student. You're at a great disadvantage to say, I will not cheat, and people don't like you. You're different. Or you're at work, and you say to your boss, I will not lie. And they say, but this is business. Everybody does it. You have to do it to get on in business. And you say you won't. And then there are whispers behind your back, and people point at you, and people laugh at you. And maybe then you lose your job because of righteousness' sake. Because you're a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ. Because you're different. And Jesus says, rejoice and be glad. And you wonder, how can you possibly do that? In fact, that's the only command that he gives here. Rejoice and be glad because you're persecuted. Well, Christ was. He was born, and as soon as he was born, Herod sought to kill him. People blasphemed him. They called him a blasphemer. They called him a drunkard. They tried to stone him. They made up false charges about him. They stripped him. They spat on him. They laughed at him. And they nailed him to a cross. That's what they did to Jesus. And if you're a follower of Jesus, you walk in his footsteps, you can expect some of that too. And yet Paul tells us, that it has been granted to you. It's a grace gift of God, granted to you not only to believe, but to suffer for him. It's a gift of God that he calls us not just to believe in him, but to suffer for him as well. And so when we suffer for righteousness' sake, it is not that God has forgotten us, but it's actually a sign of God's grace to us. It's a proof of his grace to us. It also means that you're having an effect in this world. You are different. And people notice that difference. If you're not different, they'll leave you alone. You won't face any persecution at all. And then Jesus says, rejoice and be glad because why? Because great is your reward in heaven. Jesus points us to that eternal focus. And he says, remember where you're going. Remember where you're heading to. We've just been looking at, in our church in, back in Riga, at Romans chapter 8, which is my favorite chapter. And Paul says there, consider the sufferings of this world. They're not worthy to be compared with the glory that will be revealed in us. Paul in that verse there is saying, try to measure this. Imagine it as a big pair of scales. On one side, put all your tears, all your pains, all your sufferings, all your heartaches, all those evil, untrue words that are said against you, put them on one side, and on the other, put the glory of heaven. And he says it's not worthy to be compared with the glory. Or in other words, he's saying, you're just camping here. I realize that I'm speaking to people that love camping. I don't. That's why I'm in the cabin there. The thing I don't like about camping is that it's uncomfortable. I miss my comfortable bed. You're dirty the whole time. The showers and the toilets, having to share that with 50, 60 other people. Those are the kind of things that I like. But we have camped. We have done it twice here. And always I've been very glad when I could go home again. Sleep on my comfortable bed and have my shower. And in some ways, that is what the Christian life is like here. We're camping now, but one day we're going home. We're going home, and Paul says, the glories that await us are not worth comparison. There's no comparison whatsoever to the things that we have to suffer now. Jesus says, if you follow me, if you're my disciple, you will face persecution. You will, because you're different. That's the first thing there. Then the second thing, he goes on to say, that is how the world will treat you. But secondly, what is your influence in this world? And he gives us in verses 13 to 16 these two wonderful pictures. He says, you are the salt of the earth. You are the light of the world. And it would take us, it would be very good if we could spend some time thinking about those pictures. What does it mean to be the salt of the earth? What does it mean to be the light of the world? And we don't have a lot of time, so I'm going to leave that for you to meditate on. But just let me say this thing. Salt was very valuable. In fact, I'm told, commentators say, that Roman soldiers used to receive rations of salt daily as part of their payment. And in fact, that's where we get the word, the English word, a salary. That's where it comes from, to be paid. But salt was very valuable in days gone by because people didn't have refrigerators. And food would go off very quickly. Meat would decay very quickly. And so you would take the salt and you would rub it in the meat and it would stop that decay. It would stop things from going bad. You rub it in and the meat would keep much longer. And I guess Jesus is saying something like this. There is decay in this world. There is chaos. Things break down. Things fall apart. We only have to open our newspapers to see that. And at the moment, it seems like all the headlines on the news are about wars in Gaza, in Syria, in Iraq, problems in Ukraine as well. Scientists tell us it's the second law of thermodynamics. When things are left to themselves, there is an increase in entropy. Things decay naturally. And if you want an example of that, you only have to look at your teenager's bedroom. You clean it, and if you leave it like that, it just is a mess at the end. Or a car. You buy a brand new car. If you don't look after it, what happens? It starts to fall apart. The rust comes. The noises start. It starts to make strange noises. Things drop off it. Things naturally decay. And it's the same with relationships as well. If you don't work at things, if you don't work at a marriage relationship, or as we were hearing just earlier about unity in the church, that's a great blessing. But if you don't work at that, things fall apart. Disunity comes. And that's what Jesus is talking about here. There is decay, there is breakdown, there is chaos in this world. But we are the salt of the world, the salt of the earth. And then he talks about being light. And light is very important. We need light to be able to see. I haven't been out late at night here, but I do remember being out in Kenya. And as I was teaching out there in a Bible college, and we had a generator, and so we had lights at nighttime. But I remember several times the lights would suddenly go off, the generator would stop, the lights would go off, and it was pitch black. And I'd never seen that before. So here we were surrounded by lights. We have light all around us. And I tell you, it was a frightening thing. Not knowing where I was, even though I was in my room, not knowing whereabouts I was, it's disorientating. trying to find my torch and not really knowing where that was. It's at night time when we are on our beds that fears come to us. We lie awake and we worry. It's the darkness there, and then the light of the morning comes and new hopes arise. And this world is a dark place. It's a frightening place. That's what Jesus is saying here. As he says, you are the light of the world. He's saying, there is no light. There is darkness. It's an unsafe world. It's a frightening world. It's a disorientating world. But you are the light of the world. In fact, if you look at what Jesus says there, he's actually saying, he's not just saying you are the salt of the earth, you are the light of the world. You and you alone are the salt of the earth. You and you alone are the light of the world. So what's he mean by this? What's he saying? Let me say a couple of things. Firstly, he's saying, as Christians, we need to be involved in this world. You take salt and you rub it into that meat. When it's in contact with that meat, then the decay stops. And in the same way, he's saying, as Christians, you need to be involved in this world. Light has to be seen. He says there in verses 14 to 16, you don't light a lamp and then cover it. It's got to be seen. You are to be seen in this world, not hidden. Don't hide away. Christians are people then who get involved in this world. They don't avoid the difficult situations, the difficulties, the problems that they see all around them in their communities or in their workplaces or even in their families. They don't say, I'm not getting involved in that. It's going to take me too much time, too much effort. No, you get involved in there. You're the salt. You and you alone are the salt. You and you alone are the light of the world. And so you ask, how can I help? How can I get involved? This relationship is going into trouble. How can I be of help here? There was, when I was at university, there was a very famous book, I think it's still in print, by Rebecca Manley Pippet, Out of the Salt Shaker. On the front cover, it had a picture of a salt shaker and some salt out there. And basically, her book was saying, Christians, get out of the salt shaker. Get out into the world. Get involved in this world. Shine your light in your families, in your workplaces, in your communities, in your neighborhoods, in your schools. There's a very famous saying by Francis of Assisi, or it's attributed to Francis of Assisi. He says, preach the gospel and if necessary, use words. It's not a good saying. You have to use words to preach the gospel. The gospel is a message that has to be communicated with words. But Jesus is saying here, he's saying about people seeing your good deeds. So deeds are important too. People have to see your good works, your good deeds. In Ephesians chapter 2, Paul says this thing, says, by grace you've been saved through faith, and this not from yourselves. It is the gift of God, not by works, so that no one could boast. For we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus, to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. That's the purpose. We're to do good works, good deeds. And that's what Jesus is saying. And people will see this. And there will be a reaction. Some will persecute you. But others will see your good deeds and praise your Father in heaven. But we've got to be involved. But secondly, also, I think Jesus is saying here something very important. He's saying, you've got to be different. Verse 13, he says, you are the salt of the earth, but if the salt loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? It's no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled by men. How can salt lose its saltiness? How is that possible? Salt is salt. How can it lose its saltiness? I guess the only way that salt can lose its saltiness is if it's mixed with other things, impurities, things that are not salt, and then it loses its effect. You can no longer taste it. and it can no longer stop the decay in the world. And what Jesus, I think, is saying here is that you are different. You're not to be like the world. You are to be different. Light is not the same as darkness. Salt is not the same as decay. You, by your life, should show up the difference that exists. You should be showing the glory and the beauty of the Lord Jesus Christ, exposing the darkness that exists in this world and the decay that exists in the world. In fact, I'm not just saying you should be, but he says you are. Because he doesn't say, be the salt of the earth, be the light of the world. He says, you are. Christian, you are the salt of the earth. You are the light of the world. You are different. Be different in this world. This is the world that Jesus Christ came to. He who is the true light of the world. He who is the salt of the earth. And he came to people who didn't recognize him, to people who didn't know him, and the darkness was very great. He came to a place of misery, a place of torture, a place of pain. Jesus got involved in this world. He moved into our neighborhood. He came right inside our very skin, inside our flesh, right where people were. That's where Jesus was. He didn't hide behind some palace wall. He didn't go off into the desert and expect people to come to him as some prophet there, but he was right where the people were, with the tax collectors, with the fishermen, with the prostitutes, where people were swearing, where people were arguing, where there was pain, where there was suffering, where there were lies, where there was injustice. That's where Jesus was, and that's where we are to be as his people too. Jesus got involved, and he became very vulnerable because he got involved. He lived amongst people. He became so close to people that they could spit upon him. They could pull out the hairs of his beard. They could beat him. They could drive nails through his hands and his feet, and they could crucify him on a cross. That's how vulnerable Jesus became. He came into this world. He got involved in this world. And people didn't like him because he was different. And that's where we're to be. Christians are followers. Follow Jesus Christ. We're to be there in the darkness, letting our light shine. Saying to people, we have good news for you. And in this decaying world, to hold out hope to men and women. And how can we do that? I'm reminded of the story of Moses, who after seeing God, speaking with God, he came down the mountain and his face, that we were told, shone. And Moses wasn't aware of it, but other people saw it. He shone like the light. How are we going to be light and salt in this world? Well, firstly, have you been lit by Jesus Christ? Has his salt come into your life? Have you known his purifying power in your life? If you have, then keep communing with him. Keep speaking with him. And you will reflect him in this world. People will see you and they will see that you are different. Yes, they may persecute you, but others too will see your good works and praise your Father in heaven. We're to reflect him. One last encouragement, very quickly. We're to be salt and light. People may persecute us, or people may praise God. But whatever happens, as Christians, we're making a difference in this world. But sometimes we get so overwhelmed. Sometimes we wonder, are we really making any difference in this world? We look at all the injustice, we look at the evil, we listen to the news, and we wonder, really, can we make any impact upon this world whatsoever? It's very easy to lose hope. And Jesus encourages us here. He says, you are the salt of the earth. You are the light of the world. He doesn't say, you are the salt of Suffolk. You are the light of London. The earth, the world. And that is amazing. that we have, that God has given to us, this worldwide influence. People like us here in this tent this morning can have an involvement, can make a difference in the whole of this world. If we just think of the countries where we support missionaries, in Latvia and Brazil and Kenya, Philippines, Peru, France, Serbia, China, UK, other countries as well. But you're having an effect in this world by praying, by giving, by going. You are the salt of the earth, the light of the world. That's the difference that we can make in this world by being different. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you for what you have done in our lives. If we know you, we are so thankful for the wonderful gospel. We thank you that you have revealed the light of your glory and grace to us. And we pray, O God, that we may reflect you in this dark and decaying world. Father, we pray that in all that we do, not just big things that we do, but in everything we do, we may reflect you. We know, O Lord, that there will be people who will oppose us because of righteousness' sake. We know that we face persecution, but we thank you, O God, that we have a home in heaven to look forward to that outweighs anything that we may suffer here on this earth. But we thank you too for the promise that others will see our good works. They will hear the gospel and respond. Oh, Father God, we pray then that you would help us to reflect you, to be the salt of the earth and the light of the world for your glory. Amen.